started off with a exchange of opinions between Darren Millard and John Shannon. I heard through the grapevine that when we started this process, you envisioned hosting half the time, and that's never happened. So what happened to you carrying load on this show?
You know what? I'm just a lightweight. You know, I'm along for the ride. You're the star, and we'll just leave it at that.
So you told somebody that you thought you might host half the time.
I think I was looking in the mirror when I told somebody. Hmm. But, I figured every once in a while I would host the show, you know.
And
by the way,
today?
when you don't show up, I do host the show, you know. like some of my best interviews have been when you're not here.
That is true. Yeah, all focused on one.
And
on
so
one.
And so here's the deal. I didn't get my fix of hosting this podcast, so I invented another one.
Oh, good for you. I'm a staple hosting 100% hockey, like Connor Hellebuck is in the net for the Winnipeg Jets, and now we find out that he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks.
A minor arthroscopic procedure for the Vezina Trophy winner, the Hart Trophy winner, and that puts a ton of focus on Mr. Eric Comrie to be the goalie of record over that period of time.
Get into it in more detail, but we just had Scotty Arneal on the show, and we talked about what Connor's reaction is when he's told he's not starting, or the idea of maybe backing off some of the minutes, and they're fine. They're comfortable with playing Connor Hellebuck 60 games. It's not going to happen this year.
No, which in my opinion, if he comes back at 100%, that's where
hockey.
You're supposed to say hockey. Okay, God, you know, we practice this stuff. If he comes back at 100%, then it might be a blessing in disguise. But you never know. You never know how serious these kind of things are. And this is a hockey club that I think probably, and even according to Scott yesterday, felt that they were finally back to close to 100% health, right? You know, with Lowry back, with Sandberg back, with Perfetti back, Barron back, now all of a sudden the number one goaltender is out until, well, let's be practical about this. He's out until the new year. Mm. 4 to 6 weeks puts it at January 1st.
USA
which, by
hockey.
The way, which is by the way the same day right that the American Olympic team will be announced at the Winter Classic.
We're looking at you, Billy Guerin and company. Other action last night. Adam Fantilli, if he played for the Toronto Maple Leafs, he would score 170 goals.
Oh, you're one of those guys, are you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he had a hat trick the last time. Remember his parents and his mom? And last night he should have scored a hat trick. Got robbed because a puck bounced off his teammate in front of the net.
Well, see, that's the rule. If it hits, it's the goal goes to the last person it touches.
Yeah, it was like by a thread of the jersey. But he scored two more. But Columbus goes into Toronto and wins a big hockey game.
And Adam Fantilli, being a kid from Southern Ontario, just loves playing against the Maple Leafs. And the Blue Jackets are a very interesting case study because you think that they're going to be on the verge of making the playoffs, and yet every once in a while they disappoint you with some of their games. But they love playing in Toronto. I mean, even all the way back to the bubble. They love playing in Toronto, and so it's one of those scenarios for a hockey team that really does need, I think, to make the next step. Now they don't have Boone Jenner in the lineup for a while still, and Boone Jenner really, in many ways, is the engine that makes that team tick.
Patrick Waugh made headlines this week with his reaction to Mikko Rantanen and Glenn Gullitson, but On the ice, in a win loss and standings perspective, are we sleeping on the New York Islanders?
I don't know how you can now. They won six of seven on this road trip. which was very impressive. And to think that maybe their most complete game was the last game of the road trip, the seventh game of the trip, a 5-0 victory in Detroit, where Ilya Sorokin was so good.
He's been great this year. Tough start.
Late, he's been very good. Yeah, there's no question. Bo Horvat got another one. Beautiful goal, a one-timer from the wing. So the story of the Island, I think, all season will be Matthew Schaefer and what he has done, and how, in many ways, between what Patrick has done and what Schaefer has done, it's really reinvigorated the franchise, reinvigorated that team. And there's some joy on the Island, and it is nice to see. It really is.
Alexander Ovechkin is top 10 in NHL scoring, and this at a time when people 8 days ago were murmuring, he's lost the desire, he broke the record, he's playing out the string.
Well, I know
it's a long string.
I know you didn't say that, because nope. you're an insider. You know that.
That guy loves to score.
Oh, he does. And I don't think there's anybody streakier in the game, in the history of the game, than Alexander Ovechkin. When he gets on a roll, he gets on a roll. You know, our producer Hugh McLarty actually brought up a really good point, is that nobody loves to score more than he does. And the joy that he shows every time is so impressive. And I mean, to go into Montreal, now, the other side of the coin, Montreal is, you know, almost in free fall right now, Darren. They are not very good. What are they in their last 10? They're 3-4-3 in their last 10. And something is wrong with their goaltending. Something is wrong.
They're not getting the way of the puck.
Well, you are supposed to block the puck, yes.
Well, and the puck's going in the middle of the net, or a foot in the middle of it. And it was both guys last night. And Team Canada, we just talked about Team USA and goaltending. Team Canada's got a challenge there. Montembeau was the third guy last year.
Montembeau was not a factor on the team last year. It was a great story.
Matter. You got to take three guys to Milan.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll find three. Don't worry. I'll find three. Because I'm never sure that the third guy will ever play, right? You're never sure that the third guy will ever play.
Utah would qualify as a team in a world of hurt right now after a really good start.
Boy, they got snake bit in California, and it seemed to continue now. And you do wonder. I mean, so much of it points back to goaltending, though, doesn't it? Where is Vemelka right now compared to where he was at the beginning of the season? They're young guys. You know, they still have some great young talent. You know, when you think of guys like Dylan Gunther and Mikhail, I'm a huge Mikhail Sergachev fan, but it's difficult to maintain for 82 games. And now trying to find a way to manage your way out of these funks with this schedule. You know, look at what the Edmonton Oilers did last night in Tampa, after just a horrendous outings in Buffalo and in Washington, they were able to right themselves a little bit, and for 57 and a half minutes had a chance at a victory. And then the sequence in overtime where Vasilevsky makes that save on Rostovich.
Yeah, lifting up his pad while he's down on the ice. You know what they call that? Scorpion.
It is a semi-scorpion, don't you think?
It was a pretty good scorpion.
Well, it was like Jack had scored three consecutive overtime winners for the Oilers. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody thought, oh, the game's over. And I think everyone was in shock. Everybody at the arena was in shock. Everybody watching on television was shocked. And then, you know as well as I do, how many times do you see a great save at one end and a goal at the other?
It's had a couple of times the other night in our building.
And Jake Gensel's not going to miss that. He's not.
Felt bad for Jean-Luc Picard, Calvin Pickard in net, because he was fantastic.
Wait, what is that? What is that, Jean-Luc Picard?
Well, because everybody was calling him Picard when he was recalled from Bakersfield a couple of years ago, and I was laughing like it's Pickard.
Yes, Pickard, I know.
But people were calling him Picard, and that's Jean-Luc Picard from the Starship Enterprise.
Are you a Trekkie?
No, I used to watch that version of it a little bit. Okay. We've got the general manager of the Anaheim Ducks coming up, and
well, could you have arranged a victory for them before they show up?
I know.
Shows up here,
but he's gonna show up. We'll get to the GM of the surprising and impressive and back to contention Anaheim Ducks. So when we continue on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon.
NHL TV is now on DAZN. Hockey lives here.
Here we go.
Watch every game from every team. The best players in the world. And the coldest plays on ice. Watch up to four games at once for the ultimate NHL experience. Sign up now at DAZN.
Here's Pat Verbeek, general manager of the first place Anaheim Ducks. You got a game for first place against Vegas this weekend. Where was that in your bingo card coming into the year?
Well, I wouldn't have pictured it, but I'm happy where we are for now. And every game right now, we got Vegas coming in. It's obviously it's for first place. They have a game in hand on us, so it's a big game. There's a lot of things and why it's a big game. And, you know, it's a big game for our group to understand, you know, these challenges that face us, to rise to the occasion, to play a team that, you know, it's a Stanley Cup contender. All of those things is really good for our group and to learn how to play and to be excited to play in those games.
So you, Vegas is a contender. How would you define yourself?
Define ourselves as a group that's learning how to win. And, a case in point last night, we had, a game that, you battle. It was a battle against Ottawa last night. And certainly you want to get a point out of there. And then, we found a way, to lose the game in the last, 2 minutes of the game. But I can turn that around, and we found ways to win games, the two games before, to get 2 points, in the dying seconds of one game, and then 3 minutes to go in another game. So there's a lot of positives. There's certainly some things that we, I was talking to somebody this morning. It feels like we're, in some instances, we're like the Edmonton Oilers in the mid 80s, where we just we exchange rush for rush, and we're not afraid to do that. But it's not it's not the way I envision us to play or win. But but that's part of a young group understanding, certain things that how you have to play and how you have to learn to win in certain types of games.
There was a time in this game where coaches would lock it down, and the kids coming up through the system and breaking their teeth into the National Hockey League, or cutting their teeth, would have to understand the defensive side of the game before they even get a real shot at freedom. You guys are different in that way. The defensive metrics are on line with last year, but you're scoring a ton, and that's a new approach.
Well, I think in certain ways we're more connected coming out of our zone, so we're able to create rushes. We have a fairly fast team, especially through the neutral zone, so I think that allows us to create speed. And I think Joel's really encouraged our defense to really get involved, and that's led to us being able to score more goals and have more people active in the offensive zone. It's been a different approach. Joel's, he's really allowed the young kids to, he's put them in, situations that, I get nervous about, just because, certainly, can they handle it? But he feels really competent, and I think that's the wonderful thing. These guys are getting big time reps, in difficult situations, to where it's we're trying to put them in those situations where they're not, where they don't get nervous and they're not scared to be in those situations when the game is really tight and the game's on the line.
You've also went out in the last little while and acquired some quality veteran leaders like Trouba, like Kreider, your Rangers West. what has first of all, I don't know how you did it. What have the guys like that meant to this hockey club at this point?
Well, I think they've been a calming effect, but they've also been guys that can kind of, impress upon the young guys that it's time to go. They can tell them it's time, you need to get going. And so in positive ways. And I think, you talk with Trouba, you talk with Kreider, there's Gudas, there's Alex Killorn, there's Strome. Like, those guys have guys have won Stanley Cups, guys have been, lost late in the playoffs, finals, semifinals. So those guys have been through the things that I want our young guys to learn from. And so they've had big impacts, like even Kreider, like he's had a bounce back year. I was hoping he would have a bounce back year, and he seems to, my wishes have come true in the sense that he's contributing, but he's contributing more in how he plays the game. He gets to the front of the net. So you look at Troy Terry, like Troy Terry's now getting to the guys that were kind of more outside players are now getting to the inside a lot more. And when you ask about why we're scoring more goals, those are the reasons. The guys that, were more outside players are now getting to the inside, and he's kind of led the way, and he's shown it with good examples of scoring goals, big goals for us, being in tight to the net. And now everybody else, obviously players love to score goals. And so that's been a good example.
I loved your statement about Joel Quenneville. It makes you nervous that the position that he's putting in some of the players in right now, but you've got an experienced head coach and you obviously trust him. What's his biggest influence been on your group?
Well, I think the biggest influence is come to the rink and let's have fun. And I think obviously he's pushed the players really hard in practice. We're at full speed, whether it's 30 minutes, whether it's 20 minutes, the tempo is really high. And so we understand how to play that way now, in all of our games. So I think he's brought that. But I think his approach, to having fun and it has made a big difference with the group.
Define that. I mean, coaches don't normally have fun.
Well, I'm not going to tell you what's said in the back room all the time, when we lose, but, there's some of that goes on. I mean, we're all the same way. Like we're highly competitive. We want to win every game. I think that, have fun. I think the excitement just to come to the rink to play hockey, that's the fun, that's the fun. And I think he oozes that sort of energy when he's on the ice, when he's in meetings, all of it. It's been, for the most part, not all of it has been positive, but it's more of a positive approach versus a negative approach to corrections and that sort of thing. So I think that's been a difference.
I did notice this a while ago with Joel. Nobody likes a victory more than he does. Like, he just loves to win.
Well, yeah.
Some people hate to lose, and that bothers them. Yeah. But Joel nobody's happier after a win.
No, nothing beats it. Because there's a lot of work that goes into it. And so, from the coach, from all the coaching, the coaches, I see how long they're there. I see all the work that they, all the work that goes into it. And so it's so satisfying, when a plan gets executed and the players execute the plan, that's, you know, that's the excitement. That's the, you know, the joy that goes into winning. And, you know, and you're happy for the players as well. I mean, the players are, you know, it's the greatest game on earth. And certainly, when you win, there's nothing beats it.
Yeah. Hey, we talked about the veterans' influence on the kids. Is there any reciprocal? Is there any, you know, the kids' influence of the veteran players?
Well, I would say so, in a different way. I think, the energy that the kids bring, certainly where, you know, rubs off on, you know, on the guys have kind of been through it, reinvigorates, you know, their love for the game. I think it gives them energy as well. Reminds them of their youth themselves when they got into the league. So sure, I think for sure that's reciprocal.
I think you have 11 guys under 25 and 7 guys over 30. Is that right?
I don't keep track of that, John. I don't even look at that. I couldn't tell you. But anyway.
I think that's pretty close.
Okay, well, I'll take your word for it.
What's your biggest challenge, Pat, to keep this going?
Biggest challenge. Not being satisfied. I think every day, you know, when we show up to the rink, not being satisfied. And I think that every day, you know, it's kind of a weird, you know, it's too common a saying, but I still think there's lots of improvement for the group, you know, to get better, you know, whether that's, you know, receiving rushes, whether that's defending a little stronger, killing plays quicker. I think there's still lots of room for improvement from our defensive side of things. And I would like to keep improving on our, you know, with our special teams. So there's lots to improve on, and you know, and things and how you keep it going. Well, I think it's the urge and the urgency that we have to keep improving our game, because the games are going to get tougher to win. You know, teams are going to improve as well. And so that to me is never being satisfied, and to push to get better in the areas that I've mentioned.
Want to get specific on a couple of individual players. We'll do that after this break as we continue 100% Hockey with Pat Verbeek of the Anaheim Ducks with Millard and Shannon. Are you realizing the benefit of the load management with Leo Carlson a couple of years ago?
Yes. I think, you know, as we went through that process with Leo, played a lot of hockey that year. He went to the world championships. We watched him, we were watching him there for the draft. So he went there. He then went from there to the combine, and he went from there to the draft, where he had quite an ordeal to get to the draft, flying in to get to Nashville. Where he had to take his family and drive, I don't know, 12 hours in a van to get to Nashville. So, and then he went from there to development camp. And so by the time all of this had transpired, we were the middle of July, and rookie camp is, you know, part of September. He didn't have any time to train. And when I saw him in development camp, he looked tired to me. Mm-hmm. And so I got with our sports science and guy, and we hatched a plan to see if we couldn't have him, because he was just so talented. You could see it the minute he stepped on the ice. And when he stepped on the ice in training camp, he looked really fresh, and he was a different, completely different player that I saw in September than what I saw in July. And so, that was good. So we kind of hatched the plan to get him stronger. And so I think till July or till January, we pushed him hard. So he got to play games, but we also pushed him really hard in the gym. And I think that, you guys call it load management. I didn't call it load management. This was basically training. This was training hard, to be ready for January. So we were kind of doing a summer training program in the middle of the wintertime is how I would phrase it. And so we got him stronger. And by the time January, so we tried to gain a summer during the course of, of the wintertime. And I think Leo, it was really good for him. Last year he kind of he took a little step, but this year I think it's really paid off. He's continued to get stronger and faster.
Is he ahead of schedule, do you think, Pat?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And so does that mean he needs to get, is he going to get bigger, which hard to believe?
Oh yeah. No, he's going to get, there's still a lot of room for him to put on, some more bulk and more strength. Sure. There's still lots. Like he's 20, he's going to turn 21 here in another month or so. So he's, there's still, I kind of push guys till they're about 24, and then they are who they are, at that age. So he's, at one point, like his growth plates were still wide open, he was still kind of growing. And so, there's still room for him to get bigger and stronger. Sure.
He's a tough guy to put a comparable to, but we've had it put to us that like he's a left-handed shooting Matt Sundin. Does that work for you in a side by side? And I'm putting that out to you because I don't know another real comparable.
He's like a combination of different players. Like I can see Kopitar in him. I can see Barkov in him. I can see, Sundin was probably a lot more offensive than those two players that I just mentioned, but they're, he might encompass about all three of those players, with different is picking out some of their better attributes. Mm-hmm. He has that, I think the one thing Leo has learned, over the last, year and a bit is to shoot the puck more. And he's gotten hungrier to score goals now. And so, cause he was primarily a playmaker first. And so he would pass up good shots and talking to him, he has to understand that, teams are going to start, realizing that, and they're going to take your passes away. So you're going to have to start shooting. So he's gotten comfortable with shooting the puck now and the pucks, all the work that he's done, for practice after practice is paying off for him to score goals now. So he's starting to become more of a goal scorer as well. Right now.
Imagine Brett Hull hearing that somebody has to get comfortable shooting the puck and scoring goals.
Yeah. It doesn't compute with me either. Cause I'd love to shoot the puck as well. I don't get it. it doesn't work for me. So like the ultimate, is you to win games, you got to score goals. So like when you get the opportunity, you got to shoot it, you've created the opportunity. Why not take advantage of it? So yeah, it's a work in progress, but he's coming around.
One of the guys that's going to be a pillar for this franchise for a long time is Mason McTavish, but he didn't have a camp. Where do you think his development is this season? Is he, when you talked about Carlson having a camp during a season, is Mason now through camp?
Well, I would say Mason, he missed 1 week. So he still had a pretty good chance to get up to speed. Mason got off to a good start and then kind of hit a couple bumpy roads, much kind of like last year, similar type of scenario. So, but he's working through it. Certainly, the league's not easy. There's going to be difficult times. We all go through difficult stretches. I can look at myself as a player too. There's certain times where it doesn't go, where everything you do on the ice is the wrong thing. It blows up on you. Everything goes wrong for you. So, he scored last night, which is good. He had 2 assists the night before. So we feel that he's working himself out of this thing. And I think, he's going to be a really good player for us. He's going to be a very important player for us. I think he's going to play a different game and how Leo's going to play. He's going to be playing more of a grinding puck possession down low game where he's going to score goals, tight to the net. So, which is good, we need different elements of how to score goals and different personalities and different types of players to make, if you want to win championships, you need different types of players to get that accomplished.
It's been said to me that you were going to take a more patient approach with Beckett Senecky, but he hasn't allowed you to do it. Am I close on that?
Well, I would say something close to that. Yeah, we certainly had a plan for Beckett, and I certainly we communicated that with Beckett, kind of coming into camp. And but when he showed up to camp, he was stronger. He was a lot stronger than I anticipated. And he got off to a slow start, but you know, through rookie camp and through the first start of camp, but as the camp went along, the whole process was for him was processing the quickness of how he had to play, and he, you know, catching up to the speed. And once he got that, and once he understood, because he's a really smart player, he sees the ice very well. It was just a matter of catching up to the speed of play and understanding how much time he had, whether, you know, because when you go through this process, things happen too fast and you're moving too slow. And then you start moving things too fast. And then you got to slow it back down to where, and you find that happy medium of how, you know, how the game is being played to where, and now he's had a pretty comfortable. I think he's feeling pretty comfortable with the speed of the game, understanding processing. You know, I think the biggest obstacle for him now is going to be, getting to know all the players in the league, understanding their best attributes, their, you know, things that he can exploit on players. So that'll be the next piece of the puzzle that he's going to have to put together. And he's a kid that's grown too. He grew another inch after we drafted him. So he's like 6'4" now. And so he's got some catching up to do into his body as well. So there's a lot of room for growth physically for him as well.
He's kind of under the radar for a lot of people because we're talking about the teenagers that are contributing to the NHL like Celebrini and the 20-year-olds like Bedard. But to me, Beckett Seneca is he's much watched TV. I love watching your games because nobody plays with more joy than him right now.
Well, he's certainly he's challenging because he can do so many things. But then we all have to go through it is learning when I can do some things and when I can't do some things. What's the score? Where am I on the ice? What's the chance of this play getting accomplished? You know, those are all the things that, you know, he's going through and is going to have to learn here over the next 3-4 months. But we think we're pretty excited, you know, for Beckett and, you know, we think he has a lot of upside.
So, forgive me, could he play at the World Juniors?
Well, he's certainly eligible.
He's eligible, but he won't be there.
Yeah, I'm not into it. No, that would be a big hole in our lineup for him him to be on our team right now.
He took a big jump last year, Pat. Now, closing the gap is another huge step to just get into the playoffs. Is your ask to play meaningful games in February, March, or is it to make the playoffs?
No, it's to make the playoffs. You know, and I think that, you know, we had a big jump last year, 21 point jump, but
yeah,
you know, I think when I look back on that, you know, and I think we're the low hanging fruit was our special teams. Okay. And so we're terrible, you know, we're basically last and now we're mid pack. And so we've gone, you know, to just getting to the middle of the pack or average. And that, to me, that's been a difference for us as well, you know, impacting games differently. We're able to score on power plays. We've been able to, you know, put teams on their heels a little bit because we've scored shorthanded goals. We've been a threat to score shorthanded goals. So I think that sort of thing, it has changed our, you know, trajectory as well, with just improving with our special teams.
And you've made no bones that Kenny Holland is one of your mentors. Kenny doesn't go without 10 minutes without looking at the standings and then calculating things. Do you do that too?
Nope. It's stupid cliche, but it's one game at a time for us right now. And, not looking past it and, you know, and trying to put our, you know, our best foot forward for every game. And I think, it, you know, our group is looking at it that way. And you know, when you wake up, you know, in April, hopefully you've done a lot of good things and enough good things to be in the playoffs.
And there he is up to 405 as your biggest rival.
Yes. Yeah. 405 or five, which one you want to pick. But anyway, yeah, 10. Depends how you want to get over there.
Well, a few different routes to first place that the teams have taken, and you've taken a big jump. Juices get flowing knowing that that it's on the line on a Saturday night?
Yeah, it gets exciting. I just, you know, I think the most anxious part is just, you know, hoping that the group's going to respond, you know, that, you know, they get excited to play in these games. You know, that's the thing. And learning things, you know, because it's going to be, you know, 2 months from now, it's going to be important, you know, the early lessons of this season. You know, we played Vegas. We were able to beat them in overtime the last time, but we had a 3-1 lead going into the third period and we blew it. And somehow, you know, we were able to kind of, you know, turn the fortunes around and still win the game. So, you know, those, you know, they're, you know, they're experienced team. And so I think the players will be excited for it. I mean, they look at the standings, you know, we're all looking at the standings, but it's like, I don't get too excited. I don't get too high and I don't get too low looking at them because like we have, I think 59 games to go or something like that. Maybe more 60, 61. Yeah. I think so. So there's a lot of things that can happen. There's a lot of good can happen. And so, you know, I think that's the focus.
Need everybody on board, and nobody knows the value of the carpool lane than people in Southern California. So it should be an easy jump for you guys. Thanks, Pat. Appreciate it. Good luck.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you.
With the NHL app, you can listen to every NHL game right from your phone. And with home and away broadcast feeds, you choose your way to listen. And he scores! Whether you're at work, at the gym, or stuck in traffic, the NHL app puts you right in the action all season long. Every team, every game, everywhere you go. Download the NHL app and never miss a moment.
Peter Mrazek has found his game. He was fantastic last night in the loss. He's picking up some points.
Perfect role for him. Perfect role for him.
Dostal is all world every night. Yeah. They even with that goaltending, they're not keeping the puck out as much as you think with this record. They're almost on par with a year ago. They just score so much.
Well, and you know, the young guys on the back end, when you think of Lacombe and Zellweger and all these young defensemen that they have, it's pretty impressive. And then, you know, it's when you think of Rangers West and the value that they have put on guys like Kreider, Trouba, Vetrano. I mean, there's something to be said for experience. And Pat's done a really good job. I it's funny with everything that's going on in the league, though. I mean, I think the Hellebuck story is the.
So does Winnipeg go out and get a goaltender? The most games in a year that Comrie has played is 20. He's got 4 to 6 weeks to fill in. Can you do? I like Eric Comrie. I do. But this is a lot to put on him.
I think what you have to, first of all, if
he'll want it, he will totally want this.
But you know as well as I do, on a practical side, that the price
playing every one out of every four.
Are you
going to
interrupt
four.
Me all the time?
I was just going to say, he can't go from playing one out of every four to playing every night.
No, but here's the thing. The moment that announcement came out this morning, prices went up.
Yeah.
Prices went up. And so are you going to pay through the nose for a 4 to 6 week experience? Are you?
Or can you afford to wait? And if it doesn't work out on the short term, do the prices go even higher?
Well,
nobody's giving Chevy a break if they're struggling.
Nobody's giving Chevy a break, period. But just the fact that I think they're going to try to hold their breath for at least 2 weeks and then reevaluate at that point. But okay. You know, they're talking 4 to 6 weeks, and that puts them at the end of the calendar year. And that also puts them, within, 40 days of going to Milan.
2 weeks and a day is the line, the over under. I'm taking the under. Something will happen sooner, and you're taking the over.
I'll take the over.
All right. Fun week. Enjoy the hockey this weekend.
Lou Lamoriello Monday.
Lou. I wonder how many times I'll ask him a question that Lou will say, he'll bluntly dance around it.
Lou's a great
dancer. Bluntly dance around it.
Lou is a great dancer.
No, he's not.
No, he is.
He just steps aside.
Sorry, no. Let's put it this way. He dances to his own tune. How's that?
Yeah. I look forward to it. Lou Lamoriello on Monday at 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon.